Brought to you by West Virginia Tourism. Over 1.5 million acres of parks and public lands, from mountain biking to stargazing, almost heaven is down to earth in West Virginia. Plan your getaway now at wvtourism.com.
This is Caps This Morning with John Walton and Ben Raby on Caps Radio 24/7.
The Capitals take on the Rangers in Game 3 at Capital One Arena. How do the Caps break through tonight after losing 2 in New York? And Joe Beninati joins us to look ahead to the first game of the series in D.C. Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, April 26th. Welcome to Caps This Morning here on Caps Radio 24/7, brought to you by West Virginia Tourism. After a narrow loss in Game 2 on Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden, the Capitals have a chance on home ice this evening to rebound in Game 3 of this best-of-7 first-round matchup. Charlie Lindgren, in his third career Stanley Cup playoff appearance, looking to notch his first win this evening. Igor Shesterkin looking to push the Capitals to the brink. He goes in goal for the Rangers. Joining us here this morning to break down what has happened to this point in the series and what lies ahead, happy to have Joe Beninati with us in advance of his call of Game 3 tonight on Monumental Sports Network. Well, Joe, not the position that the Capitals were hoping to be in going into Game 3, down 2-0. But until you lose a game at home, it's not the end of the world. So for the Capitals in this one, trying to get a step closer in Game 3.
Took the words right out of my mouth. There was a wise guy who once told me, geez, you're never really in trouble in the Stanley Cup playoffs until you lose at home in a best of seven. And I understand the rationale behind it. All that said, the Caps had some opportunities, I thought, especially more than likely in Game 1, to come home with a win and ruin the Rangers home ice advantage, but didn't get it done. And now I fully expect Capital One Arena tonight to just be fabulous, and hopefully that this Washington team will feed off of that. If they can keep this a 5-on-5 game, I really do like their chances. I'm not just whistling Dixie here. I think at even strength, they've been right there with New York. I didn't want this to be a special teams type series. Game 2 became a special teams kind of game, and that's not going to go well for Washington more often than not.
Yeah, special teams, and Spencer Carberry talking before the series, wanted to play as much 5-on-5 as possible. The playoffs are all about adjustments, and for a guy like Connor McMichael, who was getting his first taste of the Stanley Cup playoffs in Game 1, seemed to really find another gear in Game 2. Arguably, it was Washington's best forward in Game 2, did a lot of things well, comes up with a goal. More of that, and more of that speed, maybe with he and Hendricks as well, to be able to do things that you can do with a wheels that they have.
John, it's a matter of repetition, right? Just like anything else, these are guys who are used to practicing their craft and then going out and performing it at an extremely high level. Now it's a matter of practicing it within the elements of a Stanley Cup playoff cauldron. And these guys are young. They are inexperienced with regard to the Stanley Cup playoffs, but they're gaining more and more understanding of what it's going to take. And you're lining up opposite of the same four center icemen, back-to-back games in New York and back-to-back games here in D.C. So obviously you're going to understand your opponent better, and that'll hopefully add to your confidence level as far as what you need to do to have success opposite of a Trocheck or opposite of a Zibanejad or a Goodrow, whomever it is that you're lined up opposite in this series. They're going to feel better about their game. And now it's a matter of punching one through. I think Connor scoring early in Game 2 is going to do loads for his confidence and obviously then make him a better player with his line trio.
On defense, if an off day on Wednesday, day of practice yesterday, there's a little bit of a gap in the series, and at least I was hoping that that might mean that you get that extra day to get Rasmus Sandin and Nick Jensen a little bit closer to returning. Now, they had the powder blue jerseys on again for practice yesterday, so a little bit of murkiness as far as who we might see on defense in this one.
I wouldn't be surprised if those powder blue jerseys are camouflage right now, because they're not looking to give the media any idea as to who's going to be in that lineup, and I don't think Spencer's going to say anything other than, yeah, they're a game time decision. And when that happens today, leading for tonight's Game 3, you'll understand that this is just the time of season. You're not going to be showing your cards to anybody here. All that said, with the injuries we presume these injuries to be, I can understand why the athletic trainers and the doctors are taking their time, making sure that it's the right time, that the player and the athlete are best served by coming back whenever it is in this series. I, like you, thought that we might see them tonight, and I hope, fingers crossed, that during the day today, they will get green lit.
And as Spencer said after game two, is that, look, we're not going to hang our hat on these guys having to return to be successful. And to that end, Dylan McIlrath and Lucas Johansson both did themselves pretty well in game two. And Mac really has since coming up at the end of the regular season. Lucas, his first taste of Stanley Cup playoff action in game two. And both of them really acquitting themselves pretty well, it seems.
Thrilled to be here. Both are, and obviously they should be. I had a conversation with Ben Raby yesterday, and I said, geez, Mac has fit right in. Dylan McIlrath has not been exposed by any stretch, seems to have adjusted nicely. The defense of the coaching of Mitch Love, I'm sure, and Spencer Carberry as to when to have him out there in those moments. It's not like you have to be ultra protective of him, but he's not going to be played 25, 28 minutes like John Carlson. But in the minutes and the times that he's been asked to get out there, I don't think the Rangers can point to him and go, hey, let's take advantage of that. He's been solid. He's obviously a mountain of a man who covers a lot of space, moves better than people most think, than most people would think. Same for Lucas. Lucas is an outstanding skater, such a pretty guy to watch on the ice. He's so fluid and graceful. I don't think he was overpowered by any physical standpoint where some might say, hey, throw it into Johansson's corner and let's beat him up. Couldn't do it. You didn't do it in game two. I don't. If need be, if Lucas and Dylan are in the lineup tonight, I think they'll fit in nicely and continue to do so.
On the special teams battle in game two did not go well. A shorthanded goal given up a couple to the Rangers, but the Capitals did get a couple of their own. And taking advantage of opportunities given you, at least on the positive side, they were able to break through on the power play. And if they are going to be successful in this series, they will probably need to find occasions to do that again.
I know, as the worrisome Capitals fan that I am, I'm worried that the Rangers have so many different levels of players who can elevate their game. In the first game, out of nowhere, it was the fourth line. In the second game, you knew you were going to get that Zibanejad, Trocheck kind of explode. You did. Now I'm waiting for, when does Shesterkin throw in his fabulous performance? You know, that when does Fox throw in a 1+2=3 kind of, when does that happen? They just have so many different layers and levels of attacking you. Now, I say this in regard to where you were going with the power play success and the Wilson goal specifically against Shesterkin. He's so darn quick. He's not the biggest guy. He's not Vasilevsky in there taking, you know, blocking out the sun, but his footwork and his anticipation is so good. The only way I think you're going to beat him in any consistent manner is to screen him or to deflect. And the good deflection that Wilson got on his power play goal, to me, those are the kinds of goals you're going to need tonight. And as this series moves forward, that's the way you've got to play it. And we've been saying this during the regular season, John, month after month after month. It's traffic. And now it's got to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You really got to make it a traffic jam in front of him and make it as uncomfortable for him to see the puck as possible.
We talked a little bit about it on the game broadcast in game two, and it was certainly talked a lot about after. Spencer Carberry saying that Alex Ovechkin is struggling, and in the first two games, coming up with a first period shot in game two, nothing in game one. What are you seeing from Alex? What needs to occur here now that the Capitals are at home, now that they've got last change and maybe some more favorable matchups here for the next couple of games? What needs to happen for number eight here?
I want to see the hitting game ramp up, and I know he had a half a dozen hits in one of the games in New York, but I think that tends to fuel him. And I can see with each passing day, as he steps to the front of a press conference room or a media room here, he's simmering. And it's burning within him that he's going to have his breakout game. Just like I was talking to about the Ranger players at certain levels, just waiting for them to break loose. Number eight is going to have a bust out game. Has to have it soon. Would love for it to happen tonight. For me, matchups are one thing. I think for Alex, it's all about the skating level, where his stride is. And I'm hoping that 2 days in advance of this game three tonight will have served him well. He needs to have the big burst. And if that happens, that'll create space where he can get that unbelievable shot off. If he's not skating well, the block shot totals for him add up. All of a sudden, it's 7 shots attempted, 6 blocked. It's separation at this point. And we've seen it all during the year. Early in the season, this was just the same, where he wasn't as visible. He wasn't as obvious of a scoring threat as we know him to be. In the second half, that changed. I'm hoping now that the series has switched to Washington, that it'll change and that he'll be that much more effective. If he tests Shesterkin, he'll beat him.
in our group, there's nobody who's a bigger goalie guy than you are. Thoughts in the first two games on Charlie Lindgren? We talked to him a little bit this morning, said he's seeing the puck really well. He says he knows 4 goals a game, that's on him, but he said that otherwise he feels like he's in a good headspace and seeing the puck really well. That's all you can really ask of a goalie this time of year.
I thought he looked so sharp in the first 10, 15 minutes of game one. And not to say that he wasn't sharp in game two. I think he's been at a very, very good level. He hasn't had yet the incredible, unbelievable, oh my God kind of save, which is going to turn momentum, which I think will happen sooner than later. I thought in game two specifically, the last 2 goals, the Roslovic power play goal, the Miller shorthanded goal. I don't know if there's a goalie on earth that's going to stop either of those shots. Those were elite level placements that nobody's going to stop. And I think Charlie knows he can refine a little bit, but I mean, there's no way you're going to hang that on the goalie. Sure, a goals against average of 4 is not what Chucky wants at this time of the season. Hopefully that'll be cut in half or lower tonight and for the games in Washington. I just think Charlie's due to have one of those games where he gets 2 or 3 of those wow glove saves, remarkable combination kind of saves on an odd man break, and all of a sudden his players will feed off of that and take fuel from that.
Last one for you, just involving the lineup, and everything's pretty close to the vest this time of year for both teams. You're not going to get a lot, but it did appear that Ivan Marozhenchenko might find his way in, and if he is, it might be in place of Nicholas Aubé-Kubel. We saw him go through the motions and do that at practice yesterday. Possibility would bring some speed anyway, a little bit different. If you're not winning, changes are usually made this time of year. That might be one we might look for tonight.
If it's Marozhenchenko, it's the shot. You know, it's the ability to shoot, and if you're not going to get that many chances to score, whether it be first liners or fourth liners or wherever Spencer and the staff choose to put Miro, if he's going into the lineup tonight, you need a guy who can convert 1 for 2. You need a guy who can convert. If he gets 2 or 3 good looks, that shot is that level that will give Shesterkin some issues. If not scoring initially, it'll create a rebound where you can follow it up. I can understand where they're going from. The Caps need offense now. If you're not going to be able to hold New York to under 3, and let's hope they do, but if it gets to that game where you're going to need 3 or 4, then I need as many weapons as I can, and I've got a young offensive player who has a weapon for a shot on the bench. It's probably time to insert him and see how he adjusts himself. The speed of the Stanley Cup playoffs is incredible, and for Marozhenchenko, I'm sure the first 4 or 5 minutes will rattle, and he'll have to come alive, and his eyes will be wide, and let's see how he adapts and adjusts, because if they can get him a shot, if they can get him a scoring chance, this is a young man who can put it away.
Joe, enjoy the call tonight. Game 3, 7 o'clock on Monumental. Appreciate this. Thank you.
You do the same. We'll do.
There's a whole lot riding on tonight's Game 3 for the home team. Our thanks to Joe B. for stopping by this morning. It's the Capitals and the New York Rangers in Game 3 of the first round tonight at 7 o'clock. Airtime at 6:45, and every playoff game in its entirety can be heard on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. and everywhere else, heard for free at CapsRadio247.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
For the latest on the Capitals and hockey news around the clock.
Let's go, Caps!
Tune in to Caps Radio 24/7. Listen online via the Capitals mobile app at CapsRadio247.com.
Or ask Alexa
to play Caps Radio 24/7 on TuneIn.